You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Hey, Jordan, your usual drink tonight?
Yes, thank you.
So, where's Eric and Ryan?
They're on their way.
I wanted to listen to your latest podcast, but where can I download the episodes again?
You can download all of our episodes at movieguyspodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on every social media platform.
Every social media platform? That's awesome! Hey, it looks like your friends are here. Let me get the first round for you guys.
I was really excited to see this movie. I mean, like, really freaking excited to see it. The trailers, anything with Elizabeth Moss in it, I'm interested because she's not a bad actress, and I like to see what she does in it. However, my feelings after I left the theater were not so enthusiastic. Eric, were you excited to see this at all?
The trailer certainly was a hype. Like, few trailers nowadays really can give you enough to want to go see it without it already being like a brand, you know, like I don't need to see a Star Wars trailer to know I'm already going to go see it type of thing. But for this type of movie, because I've already seen The Invisible Man, Hollow Man, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I mean, you know, wherever The Invisible Man has popped up before, I've already seen this movie, but you see the trailer, like, oh, this is a different type of movie. Written and directed by Ryan. Who is this?
This is Lee Whannell.
Oh, he was the guy in Saw.
Yep, he made Upgrade 2 years ago, sure, which is a really good movie. People out there haven't seen it, you should go check out Upgrade.
You know what was really fun is I did not know he directed this until I walked into the theater, and I sat down and I had a smile on my face when I saw his name because I was like, man. He was the other guy in the first Saw. He co-wrote the first Saw. And to see him grow from that into, I will say, a pretty decent, well-made movie, I was really happy to see that his career has taken an upswing.
Sure.
It's kind of cool to see him do that. So some of the things I'm disappointed in this movie, what you're not going to get right off the... Well, just some things. So, in doing research for the film, I found out that this was made by Blumhouse, which they just bought the rights to the name The Invisible Man because Universal is going to reboot their Monster Universe again. And since Blumhouse now owns the rights to the name Invisible Man, Universal is going to make Invisible Woman.
Woo!
So, that's all that it has. But reading up to it, though, they said that this was a reimagining remake of the original Invisible Man. I was kind of hoping they would do some callbacks. Yeah, it is a 2020 film. It's a little bit different compared to it was in the 30s and 40s and novel by H.G. Wells. But I was hoping he would do the whole bandage thing for just one scene.
I did.
I was hoping... Did he, though?
You didn't catch it?
I saw that she was in the hospital and a guy... No.
Okay. If it's about as good as it's going to get. I saw that and I said, oh, okay, that's it. Like,
yeah, I guess that's the bandage scene. Okay, so I'm going to sound like a fucking asshole, and I'm ready to go fisticuffs with Ryan. One of the things that I was nervous about with this movie is that Elizabeth Moss does make a lot of really extreme feminism films where the men always look like the assholes, and I was thinking that this was going to be that. Ryan, do you agree with that or not?
Well, what other... I am very... I have a big blind spot in Elizabeth Moss's filmography outside of Mad Men, Get Him to the Greek.
So I don't know what other Tale. Movie...
Well, hey, let's take a look.
Yeah, I don't watch Handmaid's Tale. But she won an Emmy and a Golden Globe
for Pack.
I don't know what that
the
is.
The Old Man and the Gun. Yeah.
So yeah, I have no idea. I've not watched a single episode of Handmaid's Tale.
You should.
Is there visible castration? Like, do you see them chopping off some balls and dicks?
No.
Not for me. Sorry.
Gotcha. No, I was interested to see what they're going to do with it. So let's just break this movie down. This is Elizabeth Moss's character, and she is dating. She's not married, right? Or is she married? She's dating this guy?
Dating.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she's exclusive. You know, they're pretty. Okay. The kitchen is the other one where the women rebel against their husbands that she was in. Mm. Anyway, go ahead.
But in a nutshell, in the beginning part here, she's a woman who is dating this really like Steve Jobs-esque or Elon Musk kind of guy, and she escapes because of a physically and emotionally abusive relationship, and she lives with her sister's friend or friend of a friend or whatever this guy was with his daughter, and then all of a sudden shenanigans begin because she thinks that he is that her boyfriend who committed suicide is now stalking her. So this is where I call bullshit a lot, right? Nope, can't call bullshit yet because it's only 5 minutes in the episode. I don't want to ruin the ending for everybody. Cool. So don't want to do that yet. Okay, so Eric, you sent us a text today, a little behind the scenes here, and I want the fans to hear exactly what you said because I was intrigued walking into it. You said, well, damn, that movie exceeded my expectations for sure.
Yeah,
that was your text today to our group. How did this do that for you?
Well, because the bar was set with Hollow Man, and that's what I'm walking into. And I think what they did a fantastic job with was these camera shots, man. It really was very good tension building. These moments where Elizabeth Moss's character Cecilia is really rattled, obviously a very powerful opening scene of her making this escape. That's a very real scene. It's hard to do. She planned everything, step by step plan. So I think that she did a very good job at acting how that is supposed to be acted. You know, just kind of adrenaline but scared, and it carried throughout the movie because she had those moments where, and this is where the camera play comes in, because it just gives an empty frame. It just gives, you know what I mean, just a doorway or a corner, and it just sits there, and she gives you the look like she can feel it. Like she just knows someone who's been in a relationship that long, who's slept next to somebody for so long that you can just feel that person there. I think she did a great job with it, and I think the camera work, the way they did those corner shots, were amazing, because I'm looking hard to see the curtain move, or the, you know, something rattle, the knife fall off the counter, you know, or the cold breath.
The cold breath scene was really cool. That was a good touch.
That's what you kind of want to see, is these moments, and I think it was really, really well how they did that, how this guy was really stalking her, really setting her up. I just liked that it was just more than, well, I guess just some Kevin Bacon rapist, I guess.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, there is no pulling down the woman's shirt and playing with her nipple scene in this. Ryan, what do you think? Do you actually share the same opinion with Eric here?
Yeah, I agree. A lot of the camera work is really great. She's framed a lot when she is by herself, and she's not. She doesn't take up half the frame. She's usually in like a fourth of the frame, to one side or the other. There's a lot of empty space, obviously, for the invisible man to hang out. The thing that I liked about it, though, is I like the sound mixing, the sound editing. I liked how when you are supposed to be going, seeing things through her eyes, there's usually one sound that is isolated, whether it's like breathing, whether it's her feet on the floor, the waves when she's at his house. I feel like that was probably the smartest thing,
yes,
to do for this movie. Like, because it starts right from the get-go, when it's all quiet and she's trying to sneak out, and like it's you usually hear one sound, and then she'll make a loud noise, and it'll get quiet. Then as she progresses, you'll hear one sound the whole time, until she makes like another loud noise, or like the dog whines or something. And the score doesn't hit until she's like past the threshold of his control.
Well, see, that's what's good about this, though, is because finally this movie's not giving us what a lot of horror movies, which I'm not going to classify this as a horror movie, but go with me. We're not getting that jump scare loud bass noise that I noticed. Like, there was none of that really in here, which I was...
There's only one I can remember, and that's really just the smash cut to the breakfast cooking.
Right.
Like when the egg and the bacon are sizzling.
Okay, so let's talk about that real quick. So that's something that I was intrigued about. So, I mean, clearly with this movie being called The Invisible Man in the trailers, we know what's going to happen. So when she's alone in the house for the first time, right, and we start seeing, what was it like? Was like a knife fell, and then he turned up the gas on the stove and everything to kind of fuck with her. Mm-hmm. We didn't get much of him fucking with her. We just got that little scene, and then we got the night scene when she's sleeping with the little girl, and he pulls the sheets, and he's clearly ready to show himself for some reason at that point. I was wanting more of a haunted house kind of feel. And I was wondering, not knowing what kind of movie I was going to get, was this whole movie going to be set in that one night when things start taking a shit and she starts to go after him one-on-one? Like, I thought that was going to be the movie. I didn't think it was going to go the way it went. So we got from her in the kitchen scene, from her sleeping in bed to the covers being pulled off, all the way to the paint scene when she's in the attic throwing it down. Is this good buildup? Is this happening too soon? Eric, what do you feel about that?
I mean, there was a few parts in this movie where, but it might become with every scary movie, where you're just like, wait, why would you do that? But that was a pretty good part in the, when she had to go into the attic because she heard the cell phone. But like, if you're suspecting that this person is invisible and then your life is in danger, and listen, like, the cell phone that shouldn't be in the attic of this house is now in the attic of this house, that's like, holy shit, you know?
Right.
But I guess at the same part, she's pretty much painted, because at this part too, unfortunately, hasn't her sister already died?
No, not yet, and you spoiled it. Because I was going to talk about that.
Oh, I'm not spoiling. I mean, well, yeah, I guess.
No, you're not spoiling. We're Movie Guys Podcast. I was saying spoiling for the show. But anyway,
I mean, that was, I think, a pretty good scene, to be honest, just because it's the first time you get to kind of see the suit and just kind of see that it's not like him being invisible. It's actually him in a suit, almost. You get to see this kind of this, almost like a dimpled kind of armor-esque kind of thing with the paint, and I think everything was just done really well. Although there were a lot of callbacks, right? I mean, that ladder did get a lot of play. The mace,
yeah.
You'd think you had to do a little bit more of the coffee. Wasn't that in from Hollow Man?
Yeah, was that? Yeah, there was something like that was in Hollow Man.
Rain,
I liked
blood,
it.
Obviously,
it was coffee. It was blood in Hollow Man. The lady throws all the blood on the floor.
Oh, right.
Okay, so this is where it starts my critique since you brought it up, Eric, and I wonder what Ryan's opinion is about this one. So, a little behind the scenes here. I don't play video games hardly at all, but there's one video game that I play with my friends from work, and we play Fallout 76, and we were playing it tonight, and I was telling them about the movie. They wanted to know what popcorn rating was, I was going to give it and stuff, and I was telling them my opinions, and then I told them that this is actually not a mad scientist who accidentally makes himself invisible. It is literally like a full body suit, and it has cameras everywhere on it, and it kind of like bends light and stuff to make him invisible. And one of the guys that was playing the game with tonight said, "Oh, so he made a Predator suit." I said, "Yeah." And that's one of my critiques is I hate this suit concept. This suit concept was not, it was very cheesy, especially towards the end where you get the big climactic battle. Right? I just feel that this all like leotard suit with these cameras on it, it's just nonsense. Ryan, what do you think about it? Go ahead, guys.
I don't think it's nonsense.
Cut to Ryan. I have a little question, so if you don't think it's nonsense, I want to hear you first, then I'll respond.
Okay. I mean, I don't think it's nonsense at all. I think that, I mean, there is tech that they're working on right now that kind of does similar functions to what, not on the scale obviously, to what they're doing now, or what they did in this movie. So I mean, this does, it's an attempt to ground it in a sense of reality, you know. It's not just some magic potion or some accidental chemical mixture that made them this way. It's a tech genius who's using the thing he is best at to torture the person he thinks wronged him. Because as the brother states, or as she states at some point, I don't remember who, he's all these women come after him for his money, and he could have had anyone, you know. And if he's this controlling person that is going to, you know, do all these things to keep her in line, as soon as she escapes and breaks up with him, that's like the big slap in the face, because that means she got one over on him, and a big ego narcissist isn't going to allow that.
I was going to ask about the logistics of the suit, just because, functionality aside, obviously he's still very alive, Adrian is, and so this dude's still got to eat and shit and sleep. So, is he just taking a Lyft back home? By the way, this movie brought to you by Lyft, everyone.
I saw that.
When you are in a jam or an emergency, just know that you can take Lyft. Remember that. Lyft. We're not rapists or murderers.
4:30 in the morning. You're running for your life. Catch a Lyft.
And yep. He drives like an hour away. He's like, oh, whatever beach, that's really far away. And it's like, they're giving the illusion that it's a long distance because of Golden Gate Bridge and all that. Okay,
and
guys.
No questions asked either. I'm sure you put on a podcast or some smooth jazz too, and they just wrote it out.
So, I would like to think that he'd listen to Movie Guys podcast on the way.
Yeah, damn right he did.
Damn right he fucking did. So, of course, I'm into going to this movie, interested to see what the fight's going to be. And the fight is, how are they going to film her struggling, fighting against an invisible man? How are they going to make this different from what I've seen before? And I will give the movie praise on this. I really enjoyed this kitchen fight, I would say. Kitchen fight, you know, when they're...
She
played it well. She played it really fucking well. I really enjoyed how they did this fight. It was believable for the concept of what we were being shown. Do you guys agree with this?
Sure. Well, there's a few things leading up to it, though. I really do feel that, like, for her character, Cecilia, who's been through such a traumatic experience... And then through such a short time, she goes into, you know, wherever, into her friend's house. And then 2 weeks later, her fiancé kills himself. And then suddenly, she starts acting funny and saying all this stuff. And everyone seems to be like, oh, Cecilia, you're just so fucking weird and get over it type of thing. You're crazy. And it's just like, why would she send that email? The sister was just like, oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. The email says it all. It's right here. And just like, really, your sister comes in and says, what email? You're not going to add like a few questions? Or that girl that she just gave $100,000 to, or however much for her college, for some reason, she's not going to say anything if Cecilia hits her with a goddamn 20-foot Dalzim slap?
Right.
Like, and just out of nowhere, too. Both things, email and the slap, completely out of character. And both the other characters completely took it. Lana, listen, that's an over-critique and that's a big reach. I get that, just to move the plot along, because it needs to make Cecilia go further and descend further into like her craziness. Like, no one's going to believe me. Everyone's against me, and it's him. I get that, but this is where the movie kind of took a turn in this halfway point.
Yes, this movie did take a turn because... the boyfriend Adrian sends an email, you know, disguised as her, as the main character, to the sister and says, you're a bitch, I don't want to talk to you, blah blah blah. So eventually they get a chance to meet each other for dinner, and they're meeting at a public restaurant, and she's like, hey, I discovered something when I snuck into his house. I discovered this suit with a bunch of cameras, and all of a sudden the camera does this quick cut of a floating butcher knife, and it cuts her sister's throat, and she dies. And I and this is where I'm like kind of chilling in the seat, kind of just sunk in the theater. And as soon as the throat gets cut, I sit up and I'm like, what the fucking shit?
What like, the fuck was that?
I'm dude? Like, okay, I'm in this movie. Ryan, what do you feel about this sister throat cutting scene? Did this shock you?
It is. I mean, it didn't shock me really. I knew the sister was going to die at some point. I was a bit surprised that it happened in that scene so abruptly. But this goes back to what Eric said. I have in complete agreement about the, like, she has a shitty support structure. Like, it seems like real nice at first, but then, like, one thing goes wrong and they're like, get out of here, Cecilia. You're crazy. And, like, this situation, like, when that happened and she's just staying there, like, she's sitting there holding the knife, I'm thinking, like, nobody saw the floating knife? Like, the restaurant full of people, nobody saw a thing? Like, there wasn't one people watcher in that room?
No.
How'd he bring it in? Like,
he did bring it in. I mean, clearly he walked in, grabbed...
Well, he's asking, how was it not seen? Nobody see
like,
a floating knife?
How did he
knife?
Conceal it? Like, is there a pocket in that suit that he has?
Wasn't there a knife on a table?
That's a big old butcher knife, right? Is that
like... I thought it was a knife that they took from her friend's house, the knife she found in the baggie.
Yeah.
I
thought it was that knife too, just simply because it had her fingerprints on it.
You know what would have been better for that scene though? Because you guys are right, you're onto something. What would have been better is that if there would have been like that table waiter guy behind her cooking like steak.
Taylor.
Whatever. And they're cooking like steak or something behind her, you know, like, hey, you know, and then he puts down a butcher knife. You're like, the camera keeps on focusing on the butcher knife to make us think something. And then that's how the butcher knife gets picked up and cut. That would have been a quick, easy explaining because, yeah, you're right. This guy's invisible. He's not going to be carrying around a butcher knife with a floating butcher knife throughout the restaurant.
I think
but very good catch.
Some people would also be arguing about security cameras, and they gave it the one-line excuse at the end. Did you hear them about security cameras? Or at least for the hospital, not for the restaurant.
What was the one-line excuse?
It was her friend, the police officer, the detective guy, was just like, "Yeah, we have it on video that some really weird stuff happened." But he said some really strange things happened. It's like, really, dude? You have it on camera of people just, like, shooting themselves, like, running into a hallway. All of them stop because they're physically being beaten, then shooting themselves. That was some really strange activity. It's like, no, you kind of have everything that connects the dots now, don't you?
Rich, yeah. Which I'm going to go... Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
No, another thing I thought was funny and, like, seriously? Like, one of those moments is when, like, I think it's the third wave of cops come down the hallway after she like catches him and hits the suit. And like this guy is running with his buddy. His buddy just gets knocked down and he like stops, looks around and then points the gun at Elizabeth Moss, who's laying on the ground like 50 feet away. Just says, lay down, lay down.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I thought that was funny.
No,
that made me chuckle.
Mutant powers.
He was thinking of his training.
Can't be too careful.
So she goes, to this mental hospital. I'm like, oh, my God, this movie's taking this turn, you know, and they're like, hey, guess what? You're preggers. And I'm just like, oh, that's why he's after her, because, you know, he wants to have a kid and shit. And then she does something crazy, which I liked. You know, she steals a pen from talking to his brother, who is his lawyer. And the brother always seemed kind of off to me. So I was like, clearly the brother's in on this, right? And then, like, she's in the shower, and she starts stabbing her. She's not getting attention. She's for real, right? I mean, she's starting to slash her.
Yeah, she's going down the road, not across the street.
Yeah, and then that's when he attacks, and this scene happens. Question, there's a scene in the trailer, and I watched it before we did the review here. There's a scene in the trailer when she's taking a shower, and you have the handprint on the shower door. That's not in this movie.
Oh, and from the trailer, you mean?
Yeah. That's also the poster, too.
Oh, man, I think they must have got cut.
I was just asking because there was two times that she was in a shower setting in this movie, and I was like, oh, is this the handprint? Because to me, that's more cool than the breath behind
her. They make the trailer before the movie, so.
Yeah, you're right.
Sometimes they shoot stuff specifically for the trailer. With no intention of ever putting it in the
movie. But that's the poster, too. So I'm just like, and she's in a shower twice, so whatever. But you're right, though. But you're right, Eric. I mean, like, Ryan said, did you have, like, how many waves of cops? It's like playing a video game. Like, okay, here comes wave four. And it was always, like, two cops.
Yo, quick responders, too.
Very quick. So this is where I call bullshit on. This is where I call bullshit on Adrian's MO. Every single cop that we see him defeat, he did not kill. he severely wounded or hurt, because there's one guy where it's like Adrian had the fucking gun, shot him in the knee, guy screams like anybody would and knocks him out. But he kills one cop by walking away in the back, and then he kills another cop outside. I just find it interesting that he didn't kill all the cops. Like, why would he just beat him up if I mean, what's his M.O.? Is his M.O. not to kill, but just to get her? Like, that was confusing to me. Or do you guys think I'm just reaching on this one?
Well, he's not a... I don't know, man. Like, the guy's... You'd think that he's not a killer, but then he leaves the hospital to go kill the little girl.
Allegedly. So, since you said that, let's bring this up. Okay, let's just talk about the ending and bring this up, because I'm going to call bullshit a little bit. So, she sees a photo from Adrian's brother and says, I was there, he committed suicide, here are the photos. Yeah. And at the end of the movie, right, towards the end of the movie, when they defeat and kill the Invisible Man, it is Adrian's brother who was the lawyer this whole time. Like Scooby-Doo kind of style, right? And then the SWAT team invade his house, the brother who's allegedly killed himself, and they find him tied up in a basement. So here are my questions for you guys. Number one, did Adrian actually kill? I'm sorry, did Adrian actually do all this stuff? Did Adrian actually stalk, right?
Yeah, actually, go back to that, though, because if you're saying then that his brother was the only one that actually killed people...
Yeah, did Adrian actually do all this? Number one. And then number two, wouldn't there be a lot of questions for the police?
Oh, he killed the sister. Like,
did he though? Because here's the police question. We found you tied in your basement, but we also have photo evidence of you slashed your wrist. So why would you fake your death and now you're tied up in a basement?
Oh, perfect, dude. Yeah, that would be a good question there.
Or am I wrong?
Well, yeah? You know, no, you could wrap that
I
up.
I don't think you're wrong.
Say, I understand that, but oh, the brother drugged me, and well, no, because the police would have to.
That's a good fucking question.
Yeah,
no, I agree wholeheartedly with you, Jordan. That was one of the things I was having issues wrapping my head
there
around.
There it is, Jordan busted this fucking movie wide open.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, the downfall of this movie is the ending, because this makes no sense. Like, why would you have her kill the Invisible Man, unmask him, and it's like, it's been the brother this whole time. So it's like...
Well, how about
all
this?
Right.
Maybe he was actually innocent this entire time, and this was all master plan from the brother, and then this is just her in her disillusion, in her crazy, setting up for the Invisible Woman!
She does have the suit at the end of the movie, when she... sighs and walks off into the credits.
We're going to talk about that scene here in a second, because that's another reason. That's part of my evidence of why this is crazy. But again, though, the police would say, hey, great, we found you. You were kidnapped and tied up in your basement. But why do we have these photos of your wrist being slit and you're dead? And why was there a funeral, ashes? And why did you $5 million to the... It's strange. It's strange. So that scene needs to be cut. Have Adrian be the psycho stalker Invisible Man, or have the brother. You can't have both, because now you're doing Billy and Stu from Scream and it's not making any sense.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is, and I watching this movie, it felt like it was kind of fighting with itself, that it wanted to be one thing and then it was being pulled into another thing. If you guys have seen Upgrade, it's a sci-fi action flick, but there, when it is very well paced in terms of build up and then the actual payoff, the action scenes, and then it'll have its falling action and then it'll ramp back up again. It does pacing incredibly well. This movie, you have these long stretches where it's you know, there's no dialogue, it's nearly silent, where she's like walking around the house finding things like that, but then it just kind of hits into the fight in the kitchen. And I think that like some of these things might have been studio mandated. Like, we need to have, because I honestly didn't think when we got, now granted, it was fucking cool how they did it. I'm all for it, but I didn't think they were going to have the reveal of him actually stalking her when she throws the paint out of the attic and you see like it splat, because like you think he's, you know, somewhere else, but then he's right in, like, right in her face. That was a cool reveal. But I feel like it wanted to be this more psychological than like a thriller thing.
Yeah.
That's, but like, two, the studio man, this first half was that, and the second half was the other.
But I think that's like the director wanted to be the more meditative. Is it all in her head? Was Adrian really this abusive person? Because the way he's presented near the end, he's like nebbish. But that can be all, like, he's nebbish and endearing, but that could just be a controlling thing as well, like to get lull you into the sense of security. And like he's adamant he did not kill her sister, and she ends up killing him. And then when she talks to her friend right at the end before the credits roll, like, you still don't know if she's fully there or not.
Right.
But I feel like there was some mandate by the studio to make it, you know, a sort of more concrete, there is a bad guy sort of thing, that where the director felt forced to do this. So it kind of seems half-hearted both ways.
Well, you're right. Okay. So this is the end of the movie, which I wanted to talk about then. Let's go with that before we get into our popcorn ratings. She calls Adrian. The brother's dead. She goes to the house. They have dinner. Well, they're not having dinner, but they're sitting down at the table for dinner. And she's clearly wearing a wire. And she says, I just need you to admit that you did this stuff. And he's like, I didn't, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, she cries. And he says this one word that was in a text and later, too, when she was in a mental hospital, where he says, blah, 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 surprise.
Beautiful.
And I think
I know you better than anyone. That shouldn't be a surprise.
That shouldn't be a surprise. And the way he delivered it.
There was a delay there. You get on that delivery. Yeah.
So I think that's the moment where she realizes, okay, he actually did do this stuff. She goes to the powder room, so to speak, puts on the suit, and then grabs the knife and kills him the same way that he allegedly killed her sister. And that's where I call bullshit. Okay, because there's not going to be a sequel to this movie, because this is different from Universal's, right? There's not going to be an Invisible Man Part 2 with Elizabeth Moss. You have to finish clean. And I am walking away from this movie saying, did Adrian actually do this shit? Because we only focused on the brother and how jealous the brother was of Adrian. So did he find the shit, kidnap Adrian, stage the whole fucking thing? And then did Elizabeth Moss kill an innocent man? Crazy, maybe? I don't know. Did he smack her up a little bit? Sure. Maybe. We don't know. We see him running at her in the beginning of the movie. And yes, he went absolutely crazy and ridiculous by punching out her sister's window there of her car. But that's all we see.
Yeah.
So we don't know. And that's where I left with a bad taste in my mouth. What do you guys feel about this? About her putting on the suit and killing him, cutting his throat the way he allegedly killed her sister. You guys think this is bullshit that we did not have a clear cut? Yes, I did this. Or do you guys think this is great? What do you think?
No, I mean, the way that... I think it was a good way to end it. It really is. I mean, regardless of whether... or what invisible crimes Adrian had done, or in what actions he was doing while invisible, he's still abusive. And it was a big factor in this entire movie. And she's traumatized for life, I'm sure. But much like the kitchen, she has turned her fear into motivation, you know, and she's going to come out better for it. So,
Ryan, what do you feel about this ending kill?
I mean, I'm all for ambiguous endings. I love them. I think that when it's supported by the script, that they work incredibly well. As we talked about a few minutes ago, I don't feel satisfied with this ending because it feels different than what was set up going into it. I feel like they definitively stated that he is the one who was behind this whole thing without actually coming out and saying that he did it. But yeah, it's fine, I guess. It's fine.
All right, well, then I hope these are not going to be fine, because I'm interested to hear what you guys think. Eric, let's go with you first, bud. What is going to be your popcorn rating for the 2020 version of The Invisible Man?
I enjoyed this movie. I gave it a large bag. I think it wasn't taking itself too seriously, and the reason why is because it didn't give any further explanation than you didn't already need. So you got that Adrian was the lead in fiber optic technology, that he was gifted and all that. You get to see all the degrees, all the diplomas on the wall, and just his academics. You get to see the lab. You get to see that he's obviously very well off. You get to see, obviously, that he left a lot to her, and that's probably no thing. And so the suit, I think, kind of helped it out. Also, I like that he as a character was invisible the entire time. I didn't know what this guy looked like. I mean, we had the mild opening scene, but I like that we weren't haunted by a face, that he was completely unknown to us as well. I think that was great, too. The music, or the lack thereof, I think it was very Hitchcock. I loved it. There's a moment where she's walking in the house, and just like Ryan said, there was no music. There was no suspense, eerie buildup. It was just you and a heartbeat. And I think those are missing out on a lot of movies. It happened the same one for that Don't Speak movie or whatever the hell. Don't Breathe. Yeah. Or,
yeah. Don't Breathe.
They had those moments too. I think that really works out. This movie, I think, did take a quite a dip in the second and third and second act. I'll just do two acts here. But all in all, they just kind of wrapped it up real quick and just moved along. Like, yeah, the cop wouldn't, her friend wouldn't be assigned to the case that he was a victim in. It's a bias. A lot of times they wouldn't. But again, we're not here to ask questions. We're just here to have a good time. I think the camera work was great. Good thrilling parts. The movie did what it needed to do, and I enjoyed it. I think it's a standard, a good horror film mixed with your, what's it, they call it, mystery, and a sci-fi too. So yeah, I think it was better than Hollow Man.
Yeah, this is definitely better. So you gave this one a large back.
Yeah, I gave it a large back just because, it's been a while since I've seen a scary movie that hit.
Well, I'm giving this one a medium bag. When I left the theater, I was gonna give it a small bag, but surprise, I watched the movie today of recording, and I had a few hours to digest after I walked out of the theater, and I was ready to give it a small bag just because of the questions that I had that you both agreed upon. It's just like, this doesn't make sense. That makes it not a good movie because of this huge plot hole. But I do like what Elizabeth Moss did as the character. She's very good at her facial expressions to portray terror. And I felt for her. And I was kind of disappointed that we get the coffee grounds because I was curious if we were going to get the footsteps. I was just wanted to see that for some reason. But I thought everybody besides Adrian played their parts pretty well because Adrian was nothing of a character until the end. And when I got him, I was kind of disappointed. He was not who I thought he was going to be. To me, he was not threatening. Maybe physically, to me, he just wasn't threatening. But overall, the movie was fun. I may see it again in the future. So for that, I'm going to give it a medium bag. It's okay. It's fine. It's mediocre. It's okay. Medium bag. Ryan, what's your popcorn rating for The Invisible Man 2020?
I'm going to give it a medium bag as well. From a technical standpoint, it's a very, very fine movie. I agree. Elizabeth Moss has a very expressive face, and it comes quite handy in this movie because, again, there's a lot of long moments where it's just facial expressions from her. There's some fun stuff in the script, a lot of callbacks that come in. Like you mentioned the mace and the ladder. There's the fire extinguisher that they use near the beginning. That comes into the finale.
And, the paint.
The boss fight.
Because he was painting.
And the paint. Yeah, he was painting, yeah. Because he's not going to ask his daughter to help him paint. And what stops it from being a large bag for me is a lot of the questions that Jordan brought up about the ending and sort of the ambiguousness of it all, where it doesn't really seem set up for that. And then things that Eric talked about these things that it's sort of the reaction I had to watching the end of Finding Dory. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that Pixar movie, mm-hmm. where these fish are just jumping from bowl to bowl, bag, stroller. None of the humans notice a thing, to where it escalates so far to where an octopus is driving a shipping truck off of a bridge. Just kind of, you know, really? Really? But yeah, this is a definitely enjoyable movie. Probably the best early year horror release that I've seen. Us from last year, you know, excluded. Don't really see good horror movies in January or February. I guess we're in March now, though.
Yeah, hey, this was released in February, but yeah.
But for the winter blockbuster now.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thank God for Deadpool.
It's no Us. I'm curious though. Have they just completely given up on the Dark Universe?
So in the beginning of the episode, I said that they are doing a completely redo of the Dark Universe. They're not calling the Dark Universe anymore, but Blumhouse, who made this movie, bought the rights to the title The Invisible Man. So when Universal Studios does their Dark Universe again, or whatever they're going to call it, they cannot call the character The Invisible Man. They're going to have The Invisible Woman.
Oh, okay. Because it would have been funny and kind of ironic. Now, we know he's been cleared of charges. We know that Amber Heard is a crazy, crazy person. But Johnny Depp was cast as the Invisible Man.
He was.
In the Dark Universe. Mm. So, like, that would have been fun, like, funny, ironic, haha. If he got cast in this movie to be the abusive significant other. Mm-hmm. That would have been ironic. But Universal co-produced and distributed this movie. That's why I thought they were just giving up on it.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. Of course, I read this from Cinema Blend and like other nerd sites. I've read enough time to believe that it was fact. I could be wrong, but I've read enough time today to think that. So, other than that, hey guys, you know, thank you so much for joining me for this discussion, Invisible Man. Next week, I'm excited because we're coming back with Parasite, so the movie that won Film of the Year. So, thank you so much, guys. I'll talk to you guys next week for Parasite. Have a good night.